Chicago just to sing.
Our next guest on Downtown is a two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for his work as a founding member of the Hollies and as part of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Still making great music today and is out on a tour which will bring him to Maine for two shows tomorrow night at the Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor and Wednesday at the Waterville Opera House. We are pleased to be joined this afternoon by the great Graham Nash.
Rich, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Appreciate you spending some time with us. Looking forward to shows, a couple of performances coming up here in Maine in the next few days. You're in the midst of a very big tour. Music is so powerful. It affects everybody in different ways. When you're performing, especially with some of the older songs, are you more in your own space or are you responding to what the audience is experiencing?
Both. I have to respond to what could, you know, I'm in control of the music for the night. You know, I have to make sure that the people that paid their hard-earned money to come and see me get value for their money. I want to see them smiling on the way out of the show, so I know I've done my job. I need to communicate. I need to bring a certain sense of, well, kind of peace in a way. You know, it's a little crazy out there in the world, as we know. You know, the rise of the right wing and the Trump administration, etc. And for two or three hours at my show, you know, they'll be able to you know, examine their memories about all the songs that they love and then respond to new stuff. It's going very well. I could not be happier.
Now, for us, when we hear a song like Our House, for instance, it's such a romantic song. That chronicles a time in your life. Do you still view that song and you experience it the same way you did when you wrote it, or has that changed over time?
No, I have to do the same thing. I have to believe in the songs that I wrote. And introducing myself to older songs that I wrote, you know, 50 years ago and seeing how incredibly relevant they are today. I mean, is military madness not relevant today? Is immigration man not relevant today? Is the fact that we think we can change the world with music and peace and love, that's still here?
I wanted to ask you about that. I'm glad you brought it up because some of the messages that you and other performers, other artists were sending out 50 years ago, well, we thought the generation like mine that grew up in the 60s, we thought everything was understood. How do we get to this place in America and in the world where it seems we've gone in reverse?
We don't seem to have learned from history. You know, we have to look back at the past. We have to look back at the other administrations. We have to look back at the other forms of government throughout the world. I've been very disturbed, you know, in this last two or three years and going around the world, you know, as a solo artist. You know, to see the rise of the right wing in many countries is very disturbing. You know, and the Trump administration are not doing us a favor here in terms of how the rest of the world is viewing the United States right now.
And where does that rise of nationalism come from? The fear of the other, the way the world is handling in many cases immigration, is that based in ignorance? Is it fear? What is it, do you think, that drives that?
It's all of that. It's ignorance and fear. This Trump administration has been using fear and lies to control the population. They are setting America on a certain road, a certain path. But in my you know, view, those roads lead backwards. They are undoing a tremendous amount of good work that was done by many, many people over the last 50 years, particularly in the area of the environment.
You've been an American citizen for, I think, more than four decades now. Why was it important for you to become an American?
I wanted to be a part of this country. I loved America since the first time I set foot in it in Easter of 1965. I wanted to live here. I did not want to be on the outside throwing, you know, musical hand grenades into the government. I wanted to be able to criticize the government. I wanted to be able to praise it when it was right. I wanted to adore the people and the countryside of this country. And I'm very proud to have been an American citizen for almost four decades. I wanted to vote. I wanted to raise my voice. I wanted to be a part of this country.
We're talking with Graham Nash here on Downtown, and you've talked about the fact before that you always have communicated with bandmates, with friends, with lovers. You've communicated through songs, through your music, and I am a big fan of the solo album you did a few years ago, This Path Tonight. Was that also for you a way of processing the changes that were going on in your own life?
Absolutely. I was in a bad way there. I was incredibly depressed. I realized that I was no longer in love with the woman that I'd been married to for 38 years, and so we divorced. And my life was crazy, and my album, This Path Tonight, were the songs of what was going on with me at that time. You know, it had been a long time, about 14 years since I'd put out a solo record. Of course, in that 14 years, I was incredibly busy. I did, I think, maybe 16 CDs in those 14 years. I did Crosby's box set, Stevens box set, and my box set, and CSNY box set, and CSN demos, and greatest hits, all kinds of stuff. I was a busy boy, but I sure am enjoying playing music for people today.
I also love that collection you put together over the years. And for music lovers, that was such a rare gift to be able to see the transition that songs made from their origins to the finished product.
Yeah, people are fascinated with songwriting. People that love music but don't write it are kind of mystified by what songwriting is, where do songs come from? I mean, you know, we only have basically 12 notes in the Western scale, a musical scale, and yet look at all the brilliant songs that have been written with 12 notes. Astonishing.
I know recently you've been doing a lot of the music from Songs for Beginners in concert. Will we see some of those songs on this tour?
I think you will, yes. I've written a lot of songs in my life, and I'm really enjoying reintroducing myself to those old songs.
Speaking of the old songs, and this seems crazy to say for a band that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I maintain the Hollies are still underrated when you look at the quality of the music that you produced back in the 60s.
Yes, you know, when I first joined David and Steven, I didn't talk much about the Hollies, of course. David didn't talk about the Birds, and Steven didn't talk about the Buffalo Springfield. But yes, I've been falling back into not love, but certain respect for what the Hollies did. We were a good pop band. We were able to make people, you know, think a little about lovely melodies and nice pop songs. The Hollies were a good band. I was very proud to have been in it.
We recently celebrated the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, and you guys were such a big part of that. What's the lesson 50 years later from Woodstock, and can we ever have a moment like that again?
I don't believe you can, and because you cannot recreate the actual times in which the original Woodstock took place. I don't believe that you can recreate those times, and therefore, you know, Woodstock, you know, the 100th anniversary is only going to be just, you know, you know, a pale reproduction of what the original concert was. We were very, very proud to be there, of course. My girlfriend Joni at the time wrote the song Woodstock, of course, and she hadn't even been there. She was supposed to, but she had to stay in Manhattan in New York to be able to do the Dick Cavett show, which was a very big television show and the first television show in America. And so, you know, our managers, David Geffen and Elliot Roberts, decided that Joni shouldn't go because she might not be able to get out of there in time. But she still managed to brilliantly write the song.
Along with your music, you're also an accomplished photographer, and that's an interest and a passion that you got from your father, right?
Yes, he turned me on to the magic of photography when I was 10 years old, and I've never been the same since. I've been a photographer longer than I've been a musician.
I want to talk about your father because it's a personal topic for me as well. My mom died when she was just 33. I've talked to Jimmy Webb about this, too. He lost his mom at a young age. Your father was only 46, I believe, when he passed away. Did you have a similar experience? I know I had this, and then Jimmy talked about it, too, that the day I turned 34, which was what my mom didn't reach, I thought, well, this is gravy. This is bonus time.
That's exactly how I felt when I was approaching my 46th birthday. You know, because you wonder whether you're going to drop dead like your father did.
Right, right.
I made it past it, and I've been, in a way, in a strange way, I've been living two lives, one for me, one for my father.
Well, your music continues to inspire people through the years, and we seem to be in a different musical time today. That not that it wasn't always commercial, but I don't see the same sense of responsibility among songwriters and artists today that we saw a generation ago. Is that the responsibility of an artist to speak out when they see injustice?
I think every human being needs to speak out when they see injustice. It's not just musicians. We're human beings, don't forget. First of all, we're human beings. We go through changes like everybody else. We react to the news the same as everybody else. We have to do something different with our time. Personally, I internalize all the stuff that I learn, and I raise my voice and I speak my mind, and I'm very glad to live in a country that allowed me to do that.
Where do we go from here, Graham? How do we come out of this situation that we're in America and in many places in the world? How do we as a people, frankly, get past the failure of leadership that we have?
I think people have to realize that together they have a tremendous amount of power. And don't tell me that you can't change the world with a simple action. Look at what Greta Thunberg is doing. Look at what that young 16-year-old Swedish girl is doing to this world. Chasing the adults with their failures, demanding action. I have tremendous support and respect for this young woman. And also, you know, I love the energy of the Parkland school shooting survivors.
Absolutely.
You know, they're going around the country registering people to vote. They're encouraging people to not vote for politicians that take money from the NRA or the gun lobby. I think these kids are teaching their parents how to live.
Well, the young shall lead us once again. Graham, thank you so much. It's wonderful to talk with you. I look forward to seeing the shows. Travel safely.
Thank you very much, Rich. Bye-bye.
That's Graham Nash. Got some opinions to share. The interesting conversation. Again, the show's tomorrow night, The Criterion. Down at Bar Harbor, Wednesday at the Waterville Opera House. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, 2-time inductee Graham Nash in concert here in Maine.